I'd like to read a few verses of scripture this evening. It first is found in the book of Matthew, in chapter 8. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. I'm only reading three or four verses this evening. So you might just want to sit and listen to what the Word of God has to say. The book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew chapter 8, and read from verse 1. When he, which is the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And God will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. We've read very simply this evening of a man whose whole life was changed when he met and came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as this man in his day, his whole life was changed, this evening, here in Towcester Town Hall, as we can think again of the scriptures set before us, that your life can be changed too. We can think this evening that we're all, the Bible would tell us that we're here, and we just want to very simply this evening to tell you what the gospel has to say concerning you and concerning me. And I want to use this little picture here in Matthew chapter 8 of this man who was a leper. Now, if you had leprosy in Bible times, you were probably just an outcast. There were times when you were told to not to live amongst the community. You were unclean. And the idea is you were cast out of society, and if you ever came anywhere near anybody else, you had to ring a bell. And you had to shout out, unclean, unclean. Now, the leprosy disease that this man had was a terrible disease, quite common in Bible times. It was a disease that probably nobody really wanted to get. If you touched a leper, you would probably get leprosy too. Now, this terrible disease would very simply start on the skin, and it would really just start very small with a little blemish on the skin. It would then develop into a boil of some kind, and then eventually the flesh around that boil would just be corroded. And eventually your hair would fall out, toenails and fingernails would become loose. And eventually the whole leprosy would be taken over your body. It was a terrible, terrible disease. But you know, right through the scriptures, the Bible tells us that that merely is a picture of you and me. You and me as a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Now the Bible tells us, as we considered last night in Romans in chapter 3, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there's a man in the Old Testament who had leprosy too, a man called Naaman. The Bible tells us he was a mighty man of valor. He was a rich man. He had the status in society. He was captain of the Syrian army. But the Bible tells us, but he was a leper. Now, you know, my friend, this afternoon, this evening, you know, as we live in society, maybe you've got stature and status in the society round about here. Maybe you've got wealth, or maybe you haven't. But the Bible tells us this evening that you're a sinner. A sinner in the sight of a holy God. Just like Naaman, I suppose, as he would wake up every morning, and maybe he would try and convince himself that he didn't have this terrible disease called leprosy. And yet, as he looked upon the marks of his body and upon his hands, as we said, he would see there the very marks of leprosy. Now, tonight, my friend, I want each and every one of us to really search our own hearts. That if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But my friend, just like Naaman, he does look upon the very life, upon the very skin, and upon the very life that he has. I suppose we need to do like Naaman did, and just look upon our own lives. And I suppose we won't see there the marks of leprosy, But we will see the marks of sin. Just like leprosy would start very small, it would again increase. And in some cases, sin would just take over all our lives. And we know, do we not, of individuals that maybe we've come across, where the sin and the things that have started small have grown bigger and bigger until their whole life was affected by that sin. You know, my friend this evening, although this man had leprosy, he came into contact with a man. A man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who could cleanse him and heal him of his leprosy. And we've come this evening to tell you about the same man. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We think of that great text found in 1 Timothy 1 and chapter 1 and verse 15. It tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So my friend, this evening I need to tell you from the authority of the Word of God that each and every one of us has fallen short of God's standard. That's the idea in that verse, the law of sin. It's the idea of an archer aiming at a target, and every single arrow just falls short of that target. And you and I, as we try and get up to God's standard, every single one of us falls short of God's standard. That's what the verse means, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, this man, he came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? A man who could change his life forever. And I want to tell you tonight, my friend, that a man, Christ Jesus, the one that came into the world to save you and to save me, can change your life too. You know, in the story of Naaman, the Bible tells us that he was told by the man of God to go into the river, and he was told to go into the most dirtiest river in the land. And he was told to go in to wash 7 times. And Naaman could say, well, I'm not Abner and Farpar. Why can't I go to those rivers? Now, if you look in the map, you look in your geography, you'll find that the rivers Arpar and the other one are freshwater rivers. Jordan was probably like the River Thames, full of muck and filth. But the Bible tells us the man of God told him to go. And although he went off in a little huff, you think of the soldiers that were around about him to say to Naaman, well, if he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If he told you to go and conquer a land or conquer a people or a city, you would have gone. This man simply tells you to go to wash. Well, the Bible tells us he went and he washed 6 times. And then he washed the 7th time. And when he came out, the Bible tells us his leprosy was cleansed. His skin was like a newborn baby. He was told, was he not, to wash and be clean. Well, the message of the gospel this evening is to believe and be saved. And tonight, my friend, I want to tell you about the man of Christ Jesus. We think again, as we quoted that verse already, that Christ Jesus came. He came into the world to save you and to save me from our sin. We can look back to Scripture. It tells us when he was born, it tells us that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came into the world to save you and to save me from the sin disease that we have. You and I can never get rid of our sin. This man in the story couldn't get rid of his leprosy. The only one that can get rid of the leprosy, and the only one who can get rid of your sin and my sin, is the same man we've been able to read on this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was brought up. He was born in Bethlehem, as we know, I'm sure. He was brought up in a place called the despised of Nazareth. And the Bible tells us, if we just put a little title over the life of the Lord Jesus, it tells us he went about doing good. You know, there were many lives that the Lord Jesus Christ changed. We think of a man, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and his whole life was changed. He died. 4 days later, he was raised from the dead. A man who was dead but was brought back to life. My friend is healing, you're dead in your sins and trespasses. That's what the Bible tells me. And just like that man that was raised from the dead, the same man that could say, Lazarus, come forth. It's the same man this evening that could say to you and to me, come. Come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We think of another man. We think again particularly of five men. Four friends had a desire to bring somebody to Christ. I was just pondering upon that over the last few weeks. Four men had an interest to bring one soul to Christ. And as they brought him, they found there was no room in the house. The press was all around about it and they couldn't get in. The Bible tells us they went up the side of the house and they went to the roof and they started to pick away the tiles and they came and they dropped the man and lowered him down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus could say, rise up and walk. The man who couldn't walk, his friends had to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's alright, my friend, friends have brought you to Christ this evening. Maybe those that have brought you tonight, maybe four friends or other friends have brought you to hear the gospel message. Tonight, my friend, you can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So just like this man who couldn't walk, he was told, rise up and walk, and he went out of that house with his bed on his back. You know, there's many lives that can be changed through the gospel, through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, my friend, your life can be changed. If you're not saved, if you're not going with assurance this evening that you're going to heaven, tonight can be the night when you're saved. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that we've thought already the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. We thought of the many miles and towns and villages that he went in. We thought of the individuals and the multitudes of people that he would come amongst and teach. But you know, by the main purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world was to go to a cross of Calvary. And there, they crucified him. I wonder tonight, my friend, do you realize that there's one that loves you? He loved you so much that he went to a cross and died for your sin and my sin. We thought that verse last night in Romans in chapter 5 that God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder this evening if you realize there was one that loves you and gave himself for you. You know, we can say we love him because he first loved us. We thought of that wonderful verse last night again in John chapter 3, and it's worth quoting again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, my Lord and Savior went to the cross, and there he died upon a cross on that center cross. He was given the preeminence even in his death. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in the midst. There was one on one side who rejected Christ. There was one on the other side that received Christ. I want to challenge you this evening, which side are you on? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord personal Savior and repent of your sin and trust in Christ? Or will you be like the one on the other side who just neglected him? The one that refused the gospel message. Refused the invitation, come, for all things are now ready. You know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ died upon that cross, and the Bible tells us he died. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a sin. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 14, is it not? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save you and me from our sin. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood is no remission. We thought of that last evening when Brian was speaking. Sin cannot be taken away unless blood is shed. But I can give an assurance from the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did we not read that this evening with this man who was left with us? What did he cry out? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't turn his back upon that man. Society maybe had changed and put his back upon that man. So society had put him out of the place into the far off place. Not so with Christ. What did he say? We read it this evening. I will be thou clean. And all this man was cleansed of his leprosy by the very words of Christ. You and I can have our sins cleansed through the precious blood of Christ. Listen to what the Bible tells us again. In Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, my friend, do you know the forgiveness of sins this evening? Do you know, look back on a day when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you look back to a day when you realize you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God? A God that is a respecter of no persons. A one that sees in you and I as sinners, bound for a lost eternity. But the one that came into the world to save you and from our sin, to die upon that sinful cross, to die and was buried. We want to tell you this evening, we want to tell you of one that lives. We thought this evening about one that lived. One that died upon that center cross. One that was buried. But tonight I want to tell you, my friend, to remind you that we serve a living Savior. One who is in heaven this evening. We think the Bible tells us on the third day when they came, they found the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. They went in and we think again of that one that could say to them, why seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Can't see the place where they live. You know, my Lord and Savior died and was buried. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. You know, my friend, the Bible tells us again, a few days later, he was taken up. He was carried up. And he was received up into heaven. And tonight, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. There's a man in the glory this evening. A man that came into the world to save you and me from our sins. I suppose the question we need to ask as we think of this story here, this man, he cries, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you should cry out this evening and say to the Lord, and God said, save me. We think of a man called Peter, and he was on a boat. And when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water, he was quite afraid, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ said, come. And that fisherman, he got out of the boat and he started to walk across the water. And as he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to sing. And I think he shouted one of the very shortest prayers in Scripture. He cried, Lord, save me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, this man shouted out. And the Lord Jesus said, I will be thou clean. If you should cry out tonight in your own heart, Lord, save me. And if you should repent of your sin and trust Christ, the Bible says you'll be saved. That word repent just simply means to turn about. To turn your back upon your sinful way and sinful nature. And to trust in the work of Christ that was accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. Through that precious blood that was shed upon that cross. You know what John 6 and 37 I think says? Think of that leper. Nobody would go anywhere near him. When they heard that ding-a-ling of their bell, they would run away. Not so with Christ. He came to him. And tonight, my friend, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will never turn you away. The Bible tells us that. Him that cometh to me, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We thought tonight that this man's life was completely changed. It was changed immediately. We read that, did we not? In verse 3, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Tonight, my friend, if you repent of your sin and you trust in the work that was accomplished upon the cross by Christ, you will be saved. And you will have the assurance of seeing that you're going to heaven. And you will have the assurance that your sins are cleansed. Do you have that assurance this evening? This man went away rejoicing. His whole life had been completely changed. He'd been cleansed of his leprosy. Tonight, my friend, your life can be changed. Where you can have your sins cleansed. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Can you turn please to the Gospel of Mark, please, in chapter 9? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. As we turn to that, I just spoke to you again, it's good to see everyone. Mark in chapter 9, we're reading from verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he wist not what to say, for he didn't know what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, now this is the voice of God, this is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son, hear him. My burden really tonight is just to focus on those last 2 words. Just 2 words I want you to take away with you from the meeting. Hear him. Or if you like, listen to him. I think it's amazing when you consider the many books and the many documents and the encyclopedias that fill our shelves and our libraries. I think it's incredible that someone has said you could fit all of the words of Christ barely on a 21-page pamphlet. When you consider the words of men and how published they are and how many libraries we have, the words of the Son of God, the one that came from heaven, you could fit all of his documented words on a 21-page pamphlet. But you see, his words are different. His words are unique. They stand out. They're not like any other man's words because they are eternal. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. His words are vital. His words are everlasting. I don't know who you enjoy listening to. I noticed recently that 40 million people tuned in to see Donald Trump's speech on immigration. I didn't see it personally. 40 million people listening in on one man's perspective on immigration and bringing it closer to home. In the UK at Christmas time, around 8 million people tune in to listen to the Queen at 3 o'clock. 8 million people out of the 70 or so million people, and they're desperate just to hear something from the Queen. I want tonight to take the words of God. As he speaks from heaven, he doesn't want any of that to take up your mind. He simply says this. His advice for you is, this is my beloved Son. Put everything else aside and just listen to him. Hear him. So tonight, really, I have a simple message. I just have 3 headings. I want you to think and listen to his words as he is warning. His words as he is wounded. And then his words as he is welcoming. You know, Christ Jesus is the person The one that warns us so clearly, so lovingly, so vividly about our problem and our great need of sin. In our sin. You know, Jesus Christ was there at the beginning. When Adam fell, Christ was there. He saw Adam fall and the entrance of sin into the world. You come to the end of time. I don't know when this will be, but at the end of time, Christ will be the one to judge sin. And so really, there's no one better to turn to who can tell us about our great need of sin. Jesus tells us about our great need as sinners. He takes us, he's at the great white throne. The great white throne is on the chart at the back if you have a look later on. And it's found in the book of Revelation. And it's when that moment in history when the books are opened, every sin ever recorded is written down in books in heaven. And those books are opened and the Bible says men and women will be judged out of those things written in the books. People think they can get away with anything. But every sin, every willful act committed against God is written down in heaven. So his words, the words of Christ, warning us about our sin, we need to listen to. There's a company in the United States of America, and it's called the Controlled Demolition Incorporated Company. And by 2001, a man called Mark Nuezo and his brother Doug, they worked for this company, and by 2001, they had demolished hundreds of buildings. Their job, you can guess by the title of the company, their job was to build, bring down buildings. And if they could just bring down a building safely without damaging any of the other buildings around, then their job was well done. And by 2001, by September 2001, they had brought down many buildings. And they were just, on September the 11th, watching the television. Doug was doing something else, but Mark was watching the television, and he watched the TV screen. Maybe you remember where you were when this happened on September the 11th. And he was watching the TV screen as the first tower was billowing with smoke and it was damaged. And he was still watching when the second plane from nowhere flew into the tower. And he looked down, he looked at the TV and the camera was moving down the tower. And it focused on the bottom of the tower where rescuers were flooding into the building. And to anybody else, this was wonderful. Rescuers were running in. People from the streets were running in to help anyone in the tower. To Mark, who knew everything about explosives, about the damage that can be caused to buildings, he just looked at what was happening. He was horrified. He called his brother Doug in, and he just said, "What are they doing?" Because he knew that that building, whatever happened, was coming down. Those rescuers were running in, but he knew, as an expert, who knew everything about buildings, he knew as an expert that building is coming down. And so him and his brother tried to ring New York, which was an impossibility on the day with the phone lines. And no one could hear them. No one listened to Mark and Doug as they realized that tower was coming down. And more people were running in to lose their lives. You know, Christ Jesus, he stands and he warns you about your sin, knowing what is ahead of you, knowing the tragedy that will come ahead of you. He says, "If you will die in your sin." He speaks about eternity. He speaks about the consequences of sin and of dying in your sin. And it's him we want you to listen to tonight. No wonder the God of heaven says, listen to him. He warns us about the problem of sin. But he warns us too about the tremendous power of sin. He is the one that said, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. The tremendous grip, the power of sin. Sin enslaves people. And there's nothing that we can do to break its power. Sin is in our very nature. We are sinners to the core. And that's the reason why trying to clean up my life will do nothing. That's the reason why a priest can do nothing. That's the reason why rituals will never save me, why my works will never save me, because my problem is deep within my heart. I have a sinful heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Each of us are sinners. And the Bible warns us, and Christ warns us, against the power of sin. Sin has shattered this race, this human race. Whenever you see a funeral procession to a gravesite, whenever a marriage is facing difficulty, whenever there's death, whenever there's murder, whenever there's theft, whenever there's a broken home, whenever there's a tear shed, it's all because of this root problem of sin. Sin is in every single one of our hearts. The Bible says if we say we are without sin, the truth is not in us. It warns us about the power of sin. It warns us about the penalty of sin. We live in a world where justice is mixed around, and there's cover-ups, and people don't get what they deserve, and people get what they didn't deserve. But when it comes to God, the righteous and holy God of heaven, every single one of us, if we are not saved, will stand before God and face every single one of our sins. The penalty of sin. You know, some people say, when I get before God, I will say this, or I will do this, or maybe the balance is. But really, the truth of Scripture is this: when we stand before God, we will say nothing. If you stand before God without Christ and with your sins, you will say nothing, because we are condemned already. The Bible's already given the verdict today. Condemned already. Maybe you say, can sin be really that serious? Maybe just one lie. Can sin be that serious? Just one small sin. How serious really is sin? Well, I'd have to take you to my second point, to the words of Christ as he's wounded. Because you might not think sin is serious, but on the cross, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. How serious is sin? It took the God of heaven to send his only begotten Son into this world to die on a cross in order to deal with the problem of sin. You know, when there's a problem in the very start of our Bible and the world is wicked, the solution that God made was for an ark. And he built that ark when the flood was going to come, and he told Noah just to build an ark. And anybody could go into the ark and would be saved. And that was God's solution at the beginning of time with Noah. And then you could come maybe further along to the camp. And when the snakes have come into the camp of the Israelites in numbers, and the snakes have come in and they've bitten the Israelites, and God's provision for them, he just told them to make a brass snake and to put it on a pole, and anybody who looked at that and trusted what God had said would be healed. When it came to the problem of our sin, the universal but personal problem of sin, none of that would be good enough. He had to send his only begotten Son. There's another time in our Bible when God speaks from heaven. He says, "This is my beloved Son. My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Sin is so serious that it took God to send his only begotten Son, his beloved Son. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did the Lord Jesus come into the world? Christ died for our sins. The very name means Savior. Why was he there? It was for my sin and for your sins. Some here will recognize the name Amelia Hull. She was a hymn writer. I don't know how many hymns, maybe just even one. But she was a little girl, and she went to a gospel meeting without her father knowing. And she went to a gospel meeting just like this, and she realized the truth of the Bible. She listened intently, and she got saved. And she went home to her father, and her father realized that she'd been to a gospel meeting. And when this little girl told her dad, "Dad, I've got saved. I've trusted the Lord Jesus. My sins have been forgiven." Her father was furious. And he sent her to bed, and he said, "In the morning, I will punish you. But for now, just go to bed." And that little girl in her room, she just got some paper and she began to write something down. These words will be familiar to some here. "Why was he there as the bearer of sin, if on Jesus my guilt was not laid? Why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood, if in dying my debt has not paid?" She wrote those words and others on a piece of paper and left it on her father's desk. And then she went to bed. And when her father woke up, he saw that piece of paper, he read those words, and every thought of punishing his daughter just vanished from his mind when he realized that God punished his own son for him, and he got saved. You know, if you ever looked at Calvary, and if you've ever seen the cross and realized there the Son of God is dying for you, many people have realized he's dying for sin. Many people have realized he's dying for a good cause. But if you ever realized that the Son of God died for you and gave himself for you. My second point was actually his words. So what were his words as he was wounded? Well, there's seven sayings from the cross. First of all, he said, "Father, forgive them." As men spat in his face, slapped him with their hands, he said, "Father, forgive them." He wasn't the only person crucified that day, as it was already been said. There were two men either side. And as they were being crucified, I imagine them cursing, and their anger burning within them as these Romans were crucifying them to a cross. And they were maybe cursing and angry, but the man on the center cross just said, "Father, forgive. Forgive those that have slapped me. Forgive those that have spat in my face." You know, the man's hatred is what caused them to spit in the Son of God's face. Man's sin, that's what sin has done. There was a university professor I was reminded recently. There was a professor in the US, and he asked his class, he said, "If Jesus Christ came again today, do you think the world would treat him any differently?" And this voice just came from the back, "Yes, we would use bigger nails." That's the world we live in, a world that hates Christ. A world, he said himself, "They hated me without a cause." He has done nothing wrong. He is the perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God, and yet he's dying on a cross. Not for anything he has done, but for everything that we have done. He then said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are not words that any Christian would ever be able to say. Because he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." No Christian can say, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But Christ did on the cross, when he was wounded by God for sin, what were his final words? He said this, "It is finished." Before he died, after 3 hours of darkness, and as God wounded his own Son, he said, "It is finished." 2,000 years ago on a cross, Christ finished everything needed to save your soul tonight. So that means this, if you wanted to be saved tonight, there's nothing more for Christ to do. If you wanted to be saved, there is nothing more to be done, because he has once offered himself a sacrifice for sin. Once. And once is enough, because God is eternally satisfied. His words, as he is wounded, he took the punishment so that he could give words of welcome. His words as he was wounded, well, what about his words as he's welcoming? He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Just notice that. Come unto me. Come unto the Son of God, and I will give you rest. There's much confusion in this world about how I can get rid of my sin, how I can get to heaven. I was in Oxford recently, and a man came up to me as we were giving literature. He came up to me and he said, "This is great." And we got round to what he believed, and he said, "I don't really like to keep myself to one religion. You know, I like the idea of religion. I think they're all the same, so I follow seven religions." And he challenged me if I could guess the seven religions, and so I tried that. And then he told me that they're all the same, really. And I just, when God sees me trying to get to the truth, he'll just look down at me and think, there's a man that's trying. And so he'll just save me and he'll forgive my sin. You know, the Bible never says that by trying you'll get to heaven. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life." He that hath the Son. Not he that tries hard, not he that tries to clean up their life. He that hath the Son. He that hath the Lord Jesus Christ hath life. You know, salvation is only in him. Listen to his words. "He that believeth on me, I will in no wise cast out." I don't know what you have done. I don't know how far you've fallen, how upright you think you are. I can only speak for what I have done. But God knows everything. And it doesn't matter what you have done. He's ready to welcome you tonight. He's ready to welcome you, to save you from your sins. You know, people say, "I'm too much of a sinner. I need to clear up my life before I come to Christ. I need to do this before I come to Christ." The Bible says, "Come to him now." There was reminded me in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when a person wanting to have make a sacrifice, they would bring to the priest an offering. And the priest wouldn't look at the man who had brought the sacrifice. He would examine the sacrifice to see if that was well-pleasing, if it was perfect. And you know, when you come to God, he is satisfied abundantly forever with Calvary and with his Son. And so it doesn't matter how far you've fallen, how much sin you've committed. If you come to him, trusting his Son and the work at Calvary, he will save you. When you come to God as a sinner, his words as he is warning, his words as he is wounded, his words as he is welcoming. Maybe just let me add one more to that. His words as he is worshipped. When you come to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, John falls on his face before the Lord Jesus. And this is what the Lord Jesus says. These are his words. Again, listen to him. Fear not, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. There's a man that died at Calvary for you, but he rose again. I've said this before, so some people will remember this, I think. But there was a man walking down the street, and he looked into a painting shop. And he saw a painting there depicting the crucifixion. And he looked at this painting, and he was just confused about what it was showing. And so the first boy that came by, he stopped the boy and said, "Just for a few coins, could you explain to me what's going on in this picture?" And so the boy tried to, like we're trying to do tonight, he explained to him that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is dying on that cross for his sins. And he explained how the men spat in his face, but he still was there. And he explained to him how the Lord Jesus died on a cross. And so this man thanked the boy, and they just parted ways after he gave him the coins. And then suddenly, as the man was walking down this way, he heard a patter of footsteps as the boy came running after him. He said, "Sir, I forgot to tell you something. I forgot to tell you he rose again." You know, we wouldn't want to forget to tell you in Toaster about the fact that Jesus Christ rose again. There is a living Savior in heaven today. In heaven. I remember a woman, she came to me, and we were giving a tract out that said, "Jesus Christ is not dead." She came to me and she said, "If he's alive, show me where he is." And I said, "I couldn't do that, but I can tell you where he is. He's in heaven. Jesus Christ is alive in heaven. He rose again and he went back to heaven." You know, there's a risen Savior. And we preach that man. Christ died according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day. So tonight, rest on the living, loving and lasting words of Christ. When he said in John chapter 3, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Should we just close the word of God?